Tonight, it's crunch time, the whirlwind final hours for Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. The campaign nearly over, the polls soon to open, both sides barnstorming battlegrounds with rallies past midnight. And after a marathon campaign, it all comes down to this, the math and the map. Who has the upper hand? Also tonight, securing the election. Intelligence sources tell NBC News it's all hands on deck. An unprecedented plan, top secret facilities, secure locations underground. And a massive show of force in New York City, where Team Clinton, Team Trump, and the eyes of the world will converge. We have it all covered. Our team is in place. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening from the NBC News Election Center. Tomorrow we elect a president, and for many it can't come soon enough after a campaign that has repeatedly turned modern history on its head. As we near the 11th hour of the race, our latest polling, the NBC News Survey Monkey, puts Hillary Clinton ahead in a four-way race with 47%, Donald Trump at 41%. But this is a battle that hinges on a handful of states. And tonight, barely 24 hours before the first poll closings, and with the electoral map still in flux, Clinton and Trump are on the move, making their closing arguments and planning big late-night finishes. We have expanded coverage of the state of the race on this election eve. We start with NBC's Andrea Mitchell in Philadelphia and the Clinton campaign. Andrea, good evening.
Good evening, Lester. It has been a long and often painful 18 months until the very last moment, clouded by her choice to use personal emails. But now Hillary Clinton clearly feels she is on the verge of going where no woman has ever gone. Hillary Clinton heading out for the final campaign sprint, chasing a prize she's pursued for years. Her last chance to connect with Americans with a closing argument she acknowledges needs to erase many voters' nagging doubts.
I think I have some work to do to bring the country together.
Can you do that? Can you heal the journey?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I love this country, and I believe in our people, and I do think we'll bring the country together.
After a relentlessly negative campaign, now she's going positive, boosted by the FBI director's decision to end the email review. But you won't hear her comment on that decision. Her campaign telling NBC News that would only remind swing voters of the email controversy, brushing off my question about it today.
We're on a good track.
Making a last-minute push to defend Democratic territory in three battleground states, starting in Pennsylvania, where she needs suburban Republican women and a big turnout of minorities in cities like Pittsburgh.
Tomorrow we face the test of our time. Will we be coming together as a nation or splitting further apart?
And trying to hold Michigan, traditionally Democratic. But where Clinton aides tell NBC News they worry the trade issue could help Donald Trump flip a blue state. Tonight, appealing to undecided voters.
I know that for many people, you've gone back and forth, you've thought about what to do. But let me say this. This election is basically between division and unity.
Also trying to pull Clinton over the finish line, President Obama, who crushed her White House hopes 8 years ago and is now her strongest salesman.
Whatever credibility I've earned after 8 years as president, I am asking you to trust me on this one, because I am absolutely confident that when she is president, this country will be in good hands.
Tonight, Clinton making a personal appeal, a two-minute TV ad in prime time, hoping to reach as many as 20 million people.
I want to be a president for all Americans, not just those who support me in this election, for everyone.
And she's firing up celebrity wattage in these closing days. Beyonce and Jay-Z, Katy Perry and LeBron James. And tonight, here at Independence Hall, Hillary Clinton will be joined by both Obamas and her husband and daughter, hoping at Independence Hall, where the founders formed a more perfect union, to make history herself and make it more inclusive tomorrow. Lester?
Andrea Mitchell in Philadelphia, thank you. In meantime, Donald Trump is barnstorming battleground states at a breakneck pace, hitting five battlegrounds on this final day of campaigning, rallying his supporters one last time and continuing to go hard at Hillary Clinton. NBC's Katie Turr has the very latest on the Trump trail.
Donald Trump is trying to close the deal, hopscotching across the country to give his final pitch to the American public.
This is it.
good luck. Get out there. I did my thing. I mean, I worked.
During this last sprint, every second counts. Trump hitting 9 cities in 9 states over the weekend. Today alone in Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, and Michigan.
Nice set of hair, I'll say that.
This morning in Sarasota, almost giddy.
Is there any place more fun to be than a Trump rally? Right?
The campaign, like their candidate, is feeling good. Over the past week and a half, the race tightening so dramatically, even his seasoned aides were surprised. Buoyed by 9 days of innuendo after the FBI revived its investigation into Hillary Clinton.
I would bet anything. Some of those emails are so bad. They're so classified. They're beyond classified.
The FBI closed that investigation again Sunday afternoon, but so far no correction from Trump.
They went through 650,000 emails in 8 days. Yeah, right.
Only hours left, and Trump still hasn't released his taxes, hasn't quashed perceived conflicts of interest between himself and his company, should he win, and hasn't been cleared of fraud charges against his university. Then there's uncertainty surrounding how he would govern. NBC News has learned from senior campaign sources Trump won't talk transition because he doesn't want to jinx his chances. But his staff is posturing behind the scenes and talking about Newt Gingrich as Secretary of State, Rudy Giuliani as Attorney General, Reince Priebus as Chief of Staff. Officially, Team Trump denies these names are under consideration. One thing is certain, though. Whatever does happen, politics will not be the same.
There is every possibility that the Trump faction of the Republican Party will persist, and there will be a fight over the soul of this party over the next 4 years.
In these final hours, Donald Trump has repeatedly said that he will do well among African Americans and Latinos by simply saying he will. Tomorrow, his strategy will be put to the test, but tonight, he is not done yet. He'll be in Manchester, New Hampshire in a couple hours, and he will end his night in Grand Rapids, Michigan, his 510th day of campaigning. Lester.
Katie Turra, thank you. Let me turn now to Chuck Todd, NBC News political director and moderator of Meet the Press. I've seen you at that board all day. I'm fascinated to know what you're looking at, what you're focusing on for tomorrow.
Well, to figure out how states are going, you want to look at certain demographic groups. And I want to show you some interesting things from our final NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Among all white voters, this was a fascinating fact here. Donald Trump was leading Hillary Clinton, but only by 15 points, which is actually less than Mitt Romney 2012. Mitt Romney, of course, did not win the presidency. The wonder has been, is there going to be enough white voters there to propel Trump if he doesn't do well with non-white voters? Well, take a look at this. Non-college-educated white voters have been the backbone for Trump in this primary, and he is doing better with them than Romney did, but by only 5 points. Now, this will be fine if he does well with other white voters, but clearly he's not. Let me show you. And this could be the key to this election. College-educated white voters, a stunning result in our final NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Not only was Clinton leading, she was leading by 10 points. Romney won this group of voters by 14. This is a 24-point swing. So what does this mean for the map? This is what it would mean for the map, Lester. Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, maybe Arizona, you name it. A state with big suburban populations of college-educated whites. If Hillary Clinton is winning them by 10 points, this is going to become a much bluer map much quicker.
That could be game-changing stuff.
Could be a game-changer, absolutely.
All right, Chuck Todd, thanks. Let me turn now to Steve Schmidt. He's a Republican strategist and political analyst. Steve, you worked in the McCain campaign. Give me the inside view of 24 hours before an election. What's going on? Are you going on data or gut as to where you need to be?
You're looking at both. Certainly in the 2004 campaign with George W. Bush, we were 3 points ahead in the final polling averages. We were nervous, but we were feeling good. But you come into this night, it's a long day ahead. All of the action is slowing down. There's a lot that you can do. You sit, you hurry up and wait for the polls to close. It's as long a day as you can possibly imagine.
And it's going to be a long night tomorrow. Steve, thanks very much. Good to have you here. One of the biggest factors in deciding the election could be the influence of the Latino vote. Early voting suggests it's an all-time high in the all-important battleground state of Florida. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is in Central Florida and has a closer look for us.
Let's just talk to these folks who are out and let's see.
In the toughest of battlegrounds, the war is changing.
the Latino community know that their futures, their families, education, health care, jobs, all of that is on the line here in 2016.
Cristina Hernandez runs Que Vote Mi Gente, Spanish for Vote My People. For months, the group in Central Florida scrambling to energize an underrepresented demographic, long considered a sleeping giant.
The Latino vote in the state of Florida has exploded.
In Florida, Hispanics have so far cast about 15% of the more than 6 million early and absentee ballots, boosted by Puerto Ricans fleeing the island's debt crisis. Turnout among Latinos is also surging in Arizona, Nevada, and parts of Texas, where immigration is a top concern.
Latinos are much like all Americans, that they vote on different issues and different local issues.
Despite his controversial comments about Mexicans, Donald Trump insists he's gaining ground.
We're going to do great with the Hispanics.
But among Latinos, Hillary Clinton leads him by 45 percentage points. Since winning the White House in 2004, the GOP has lost more Hispanic support each election cycle.
Sometimes I think that Donald Trump looked at that GOP autopsy after 2012 and decided to do the exact opposite.
You don't like either candidate?
Really? No.
Milagro Torres, a Puerto Rican voter, disgusted by Trump, but skeptical of Clinton. Still, she voted early for the Democrat. On the road to the White House, what was once a sleeping giant is stirring. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Kissimmee, Florida.
Let's turn now to the storm brewing around the FBI directory. Some Republicans are questioning the FBI's claim that agents got through thousands of emails, some potentially related to Mrs. Clinton, in just 8 days. It's yet another question for James Comey, who found himself widely criticized by Democrats and Republicans for his actions during the campaign. No matter what happens tomorrow night, Comey's relationship with the next president could be strained. We get all the latest from our justice correspondent, Pete Williams.
The FBI says agents work 24 hours a day to sort through the emails found on Anthony Weiner's laptop.
So sad what's going on.
Though Donald Trump and his supporters say it's not possible to go through 650,000 emails in 8 days, FBI officials say most of the process was automated. Step one, check email headers to isolate those sent to or from Huma Abedin while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. Then use a program like this to eliminate duplicates of the thousands of emails already seen on the Clinton server. Only a small number, the FBI says, had to be individually read. The investigation is over, but FBI Director James Comey is left with lots of explaining to do.
Hillary Clinton is guilty. She knows it. The FBI knows it.
Donald Trump's supporters say she should have been prosecuted over the emails. She said the FBI should never have brought up the latest emails without looking at them first.
The director himself has said he doesn't know whether the emails referenced in his letter are significant or not.
FBI officials say Comey wants to give a full accounting of his role in all this, including the decisions he made, which he might do in a couple of weeks, and whatever his own plans. Members of Congress are eager to pull him up for hearings, but these officials, Lester, say he intends to stay for his full 10-year term, which would mean another 7 years.
All right, Pete, thanks very much. Still ahead tonight on High Alert, top secret underground op centers where U.S. security stands ready to react amid heightened concerns over outside interference in America's election. We'll be right back. Beyond the candidates themselves, the searing rhetoric, and all the unforeseen twists and turns, there is another reason why this election is unprecedented. The security operation on Election Day, aimed especially at a potential cyber attack, will be like nothing the government has ever mounted. We get more on this tonight from our senior investigative correspondent, Cynthia McFadden.
At 6 this morning, a high-level intelligence official told NBC News preparations and nerves are at the frenzy level as the federal government gears up to protect the country on election eve. It's all hands on deck, says a second senior intelligence official. Multiple officials say concern is so high, for the first time in conjunction with an election in several top secret facilities, including underground bunkers like this newly refurbished one located somewhere on the East Coast,
hundreds of federal employees, including both military and intelligence cyber experts, are monitoring incoming intelligence to react to any threat to the federal government's communication and command systems. This morning, former NATO commander Admiral James Stavridis discussed the type of Russian threat he was concerned about, from a dump of false documents to an attack on the U.S. power grid.
There's maybe a 1 in 3 chance of this happening, but it's not insignificant.
The scope of government readiness is unprecedented, including the 6 national cyber centers and 54 state emergency operations centers, including here in New York, where both candidates will host what they hope are victory celebrations. New York Police Department and counter-surveillance teams are already at work. 5,000 uniformed officers on the detail, comparable to the Pope's visit. It's the first time since 1944 that both candidates are from the same place. It, too, was New York, the candidates Roosevelt and Dewey. But unlike 1944, the cyber genie got out of the bottle this year and won't ever be put back in. Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, New York.
We're back in a moment with some of the day's other news, including the latest on the earthquake that struck in the middle of the country. We're back now with some of the day's other news. Janet Reno, the history-making first female attorney general of the United States who served under President Bill Clinton, has died. Reno's Justice Department oversaw a number of headline-grabbing cases, including the 1993 World Trade Center bombing and the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. But she was criticized for her handling of the 1993 Waco siege and the Elian Gonzalez battle in 2000. Reno was diagnosed with Parkinson's while in office and died due to complications from the disease. She was 78. Officials in Oklahoma said today that yesterday's powerful magnitude 5 earthquake damaged 40 to 50 buildings, not far from one of the world's largest oil storage terminals. That facility in Cushing was not damaged and no injuries were reported. Oklahoma has experienced thousands of earthquakes in recent years, most linked to underground injection of wastewater in oil and gas production, known as fracking. And whenever you think you've had a terrifying experience flying, imagine being on this flight in Mexico. When a snake emerged from the overhead luggage area and then dangled from the ceiling. At least one passenger was able to get past the terror and film it. Aeromexico officials are investigating how the snake got on the plane and say they're taking measures to make sure it doesn't happen again. When we come back, they've got quite a batting average when it comes to picking presidents, but how are voters in this battleground county feeling this time? Plaza, a centerpiece for tomorrow's Decision Night in America coverage. We're going to conclude this part of our broadcast tonight with a story from a battleground state where the people say it's not battles they want from the candidates, but rather answers and solutions to real problems. Here's NBC's Kevin Tibbles.
As the seasons change, so will the presidency. We've returned to Pemberville, Ohio, whose county picked 23 of the last 29 presidential winners. Bob Frobos runs the family meat market.
Where's the beef?
A year ago, he was frustrated because he didn't hear much about where candidates stood on the issues.
I have not made a decision yet by any stretch.
But a campaign filled with hostility and name-calling has left him worn out and, frankly, demoralized.
At my age, I'm shocked that our country has gotten to this point.
But as the people of this swing state town prepare to mark their X, there's also a lot of trepidation.
How are you feeling on the eve of the election?
Very anxious, nervous.
Last year, Diane Hofkins was leaning Democrat.
The American dream, you know, have a home, start a family.
But tomorrow, she says, she will vote Republican.
I believe in what he brings to the table, which is a lot different from a year ago, because I just didn't know enough about him.
Todd Sheets owns the general store.
You're hearing a lot of people say that, they're not excited about either candidate. That's kind of sad.
And if Trump wins,
continue on.
Here, what people want most of all is to get past the angry shouts and get back to their everyday peaceful lives.
The good part of this is
come Wednesday morning, the sun is going to come up. No matter if your candidate wins or loses, it's going to be okay.
Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Pamberville, Ohio.
We're back here on our NBC News Election Center with more of our continuing coverage on the eve of the presidential election. And we are officially down to the wire, less than 24 hours until the first polls close. The candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, are on a frantic final sprint to the finish line. They've spent the last full day of the campaign blitzing through battleground states, and the dash won't end until late tonight. While our latest polling shows Clinton holding on to a national lead over Trump, we have it all covered, our team in place, and we want to begin with Peter Alexander on the Trump campaign.
Is there anyone in the country that isn't glad this campaign is over? Sure looks like Donald Trump is.
This is the last day of our campaign. Who would have believed this? Who would have believed it? It's been some campaign, too.
Trump kicking off the 510th and final day of his improbable campaign in Florida and doing what a lot of voters have done. Seeing what they want to see in him.
Nice set of hair, I'll say that.
Trump closing out the race with a marathon few days. By the end of tonight, tallying 14 stops in 10 states since Saturday. Trump's top aides insist they see several possible paths to 270 and are projecting confidence about flipping at least one traditionally Democratic state in the upper Midwest that hasn't gone Republican in a generation.
We're going to win Michigan. You know what we're going to win? We're going to win Minnesota.
It's a hard sell to analysts that Michigan is actually in play. But when you don't have any options, you make up the best one possible.
As his top aides questioned the thoroughness of the FBI's review of Hillary Clinton's emails.
Why reopen an investigation if there's no there? I mean, that's something that both sides were asking. And frankly, the investigation has been a hot mess from the beginning.
Trump insisted Clinton's being protected by a rigged system.
Now it's up to the American people to deliver justice at the ballot box tomorrow.
To win, Trump will need to expand his support beyond white working class voters. Today, directing his appeals to Hispanics and African Americans, even as he criticized Jay-Z and Beyonce's performance on behalf of Clinton.
Singing, right? Singing? Talking? Was it talking or singing? I don't know.
Senior campaign sources are already talking transition, toying with which loyalists would best fill out a potential Trump cabinet. Rudy Giuliani as Attorney General, Newt Gingrich, Secretary of State, and Reince Priebus as Chief of Staff. Though advisors say Trump's focus, for now, is exclusively on winning.
And for all the talk about the historic nature of Hillary Clinton's candidacy, if elected, Donald Trump would make history himself, the first president without any government or military experience. He's going to wrap up his 17-month campaign late tonight with stops in New Hampshire and Michigan before returning home here to New York City, Lester, where he will vote early tomorrow morning.
All right, Peter Alexander on Democracy Plaza tonight. Hillary Clinton also spending her final day of the campaign rallying voters in those key battlegrounds, but she steered clear of mentioning her email controversy on the trail even after that big announcement yesterday from FBI Director James Comey. We get more from NBC's Kristen Welker.
Hillary Clinton's final sprint as she fights to become the first female president.
Tomorrow we face the test of our time.
Tonight, emboldened after FBI Director James Comey announced Sunday his review of newly discovered emails didn't change his conclusion about her emails. Today, Clinton showing new confidence on the trail.
Tomorrow you can vote for a hopeful, inclusive, big-hearted America.
But she's not mentioning the email issue. Her campaign telling NBC News it turns off swing voters, Clinton avoiding the question today. Although some supporters concern the damage is already done.
I am so angry. It seemed like such a political stunt.
But Clinton not looking back. Today making four stops in three key states, including reliably blue Michigan and Pennsylvania, where Donald Trump is making a strong play.
Hello, Pittsburgh!
Clinton revealing her closing argument. After going negative, she'll stay positive for the last 24 hours, including in this two-minute ad airing tonight.
I want to be a president for all Americans.
And for one final day, calling on the current commander-in-chief to try to energize the Democratic base.
So when I tell you that Donald Trump is not the guy who's going to look out for you, you need to listen. Do not be bamboozled. Don't fall for the okie doke.
We're asking if you'll vote for Hillary Clinton.
With the clock ticking, it all comes down to this, the ground game. The campaign touting more than 1 million volunteers out in force all across the country.
So after tomorrow, the work will begin. And one of the highest priorities that I feel an obligation to address is how we bring our country together.
A party mobilized, a candidate hoping to make history. And here in Philadelphia, the spot where Clinton officially accepted her party's nomination. She's capping her campaign with her most power-packed rally yet, joined by her husband, the Obamas, Bon Jovi, and Bruce Springsteen. Lester.
Kristen Walker in Philadelphia, thank you. Let's bring in our political director, the moderator of Meet the Press, Chuck Todd. Chuck, you've got a pretty insightful look at how people feel about this election.
It is, and it gets to what I'm calling the November 9th problem in this country, which is how are we going to bring this country together? So in our poll, we asked people to give us a word or a phrase on what they think of each candidate. This is what Clinton, this is a word cloud of what Clinton voters think of Trump. Some pretty nasty words here, misogynist, sexist, womanizer, racist, bigot. And you're thinking, boy, how would these folks handle a President Trump? Well, take a look at what Trump voters think of Clinton. Crooked, corrupt, liar, dishonest. So now you wonder, how does a President Clinton govern Trump voters? I think it's going to be a huge challenge bringing this country together, no matter who wins. But for what it's worth, the entire country is totally fed up with this presidential election. One of our pollsters, Peter Hart, did this at a focus group, and he said, tell us what this campaign smells to you like. Well, skunk, rotten egg, dead fish, garbage. And Lester, I have a picture of a cow here, but it isn't the snout that we're pointing out here. It's what comes out on the other side. It's how many Americans have described this election.
What's the old joke? Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Except it's not funny.
It's not funny, but you have to laugh. It's that dark sometimes.
All right, Chuck Todd, thanks. And NBC News political analyst Nicole Wallace is here, and she's not laughing because it's funny.
Well, every woman wants to be set up with that image.
Yeah, I mean, but that's where we are. Hey, you have been in a campaign. I'm fascinated by this whole last 24 hours. I've got to figure that both camps right now, only if we had done what? What are they thinking?
So I think if you're Hillary Clinton, if only I hadn't set up a homebrewed server. All of her problems, almost every word on that board that Chuck just showed us, stems from this feeling that she acted in a way that wasn't completely up to snuff in terms of high ethical standards and the way you want your government fit.
That every word trust one, links back to that.
Every single one of her problems stems not only from the fact that she set up an email server in her house, but that she wasn't upfront about it when asked over a year ago by Andrew Mitchell at the UN in New York. I'll never forget the press conference. So all of her problems, if you could undo one thing, it would be to not set up that email server.
The Trump folks?
And the Trump folks have to wish that he kept all of his attacks focused on his political opponents, not innocent people like a journalist, a disabled journalist. If you look at the word cloud again, and it's the insults against women, the insults against a Gold Star family. All those things make up the negative feelings about Donald Trump.
All right, Nicole, thank you. I'll talk to Chuck about his interview next time. All right.
No one wants that.
All right, now we take a look at what's been a major storyline of the days and will be after the election, who will control Congress, with a look at the key down ballot races that could decide the balance of power in the Senate. We're joined now by NBC's Hallie Jackson. Hey, Hallie.
Hey, Lester. The Senate races could be almost as important as the race for the White House tomorrow night. And let me explain why, because it could actually get really interesting. Right now, Republicans control Congress. But take a look at our Senate battleground map for tomorrow night. Arizona looks pretty safe for John McCain. Same thing for Florida with Marco Rubio. High Latino turnout in Nevada could hurt Republicans. We're going to make that blue. The Democrat in Indiana seems to be losing steam, but in Pennsylvania, she's picking up momentum. So let's drill down on the three states that we have left. These are basically coin flips. And watch what happens when we move these around to these numbers on the top of your screen under this scenario. In Missouri, Democrat Jason Kander could unseat the sitting senator there. But if Senator Richard Burr in North Carolina hangs on to his seat, same with Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire, look what happens. It is a 50-50 split in the Senate, with the Supreme Court nomination on the line, with the future of the Affordable Care Act and immigration reform. So what happens then? Well, Whoever's the vice president will be the tiebreaker, making that trip down Pennsylvania Avenue, Lester, for every close Senate race. Talk about down ballot drama.
A lot of drama here. All right, Hallie, thanks very much. If tomorrow's election has many in this country on edge, people throughout the world are paying close attention as well. Many express concerns about the deep division the election has brought out here in the U.S. and fear about the impact on their countries, including new questions about the impact on the fight against ISIS. We get more tonight from our chief foreign correspondent, Richard Engel.
Whoever wins, the decisions of the next commander-in-chief will have a tremendous impact on the world. Take the fight against ISIS, now at its most dangerous phase, street to street. We asked Iraqi special forces in Mosul to wear body cameras to see what they see, how they're kissed by residents who hate the extremists, how they use bulldozers to avoid ISIS booby traps. But this intimate perspective showed us something even more important. Iraqis are standing and fighting. The U.S. strategy to retrain Iraqi troops, for now at least, seems to be working. In fact, ISIS could lose most of its self-declared state by the time President Obama leaves office. What the U.S. does matters globally, which is why there's so much concern about what Clinton or Trump would do as commander-in-chief. The elections are leading world headlines.
Hillary Clinton.
Trump. Clinton.
Not in a good way. They're generally described as farcical and an embarrassment. Overall, one candidate is attracting most of the attention. French President Hollande went after Trump, saying his statements make you want to retch. Iran's president said if this election represents democracy, he doesn't want it. And the Pope, in what seemed to be a dig at Trump, said the world should focus on building bridges, not walls.
One thing I keep hearing from people in my travels is that they didn't realize how divided this country has become. From afar, it seems like the most divided it's been since the 1960s. And that is not seen as a sign of strength.
All right, Richard Engel, thank you. Still ahead, the battle being waged on college campuses across the nation. It's not just Republican versus Democrat. It's also Republican versus Republican, as many get ready to vote for the very first time. We're back now with the crucial millennial vote. Many will cast their very first ballots in a presidential race tomorrow. And after months of GOP civil war, it's hard to recall a time when younger Republicans were so divided. As NBC's Jacob Rascone explains, both sides insist they are the future of the party in tonight's installment of Red, White, and You.
Of all the lonely places to be a proud Donald Trump supporter, Penn State University may be one of the loneliest.
You're opening yourself out to a whole heck of a lot of criticism.
That's not yours.
They are outcasts on campus, even among college Republicans.
They're not here to waste their time.
Penn State's chapter, like dozens of others around the country, rejecting the party nominee for the first time in its history.
We're faced with a candidate who can almost be the end of the Republican Party as we know it.
After a bitter primary, the outsider vanquishing the establishment, the fracture lingers. The question of the direction of the future party unanswered.
The Republican Party has a bit of an identity crisis going on.
Absolutely. I agree. And I honestly hope that the future of the Republican Party does not hinge on whether or not Trump is elected as a president, because I don't feel like he is in line with a lot of the emerging millennial Republican ideals.
At Campbell University in North Carolina, John Lambert and Ryan Fournier met as college Republicans, but now run Students for Trump, which has spread to 100 universities and millions on social media.
I see Donald Trump as reviving the Republican Party.
We get hundreds of photos sent in on a daily basis through Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and it really motivates us because we are the future of this country.
It is a movement Trump backers insist that's bigger than the candidate.
We'll never go away. We will never go away.
We want a winner, we want a fighter, and we want someone that's going to reform the Republican Party.
The future of the party in the balance, young Republicans perhaps permanently divided. Jacob Rascone, NBC News, State College, Pennsylvania.
When we come back, it landed pop star Justin Timberlake in hot water, why you might want to think twice before doing this at the ballot box. No matter what happens tomorrow, this election will be historic, and that's why so many people may have wanted to record their choices at the voting booth with a selfie. But doing so has become an election issue itself, a legal election issue, as we hear from Joe Fryer.
Can you get in?
Oh, the selfie, that modern-day self-portrait so popular, not even the Pope's immune. But how about taking one while voting?
I don't like selfie in the voting booth.
I don't think I would do it, but I don't think that it should be prohibited.
Justin Timberlake recently learned after snapping this photo, ballot selfies are not allowed in Tennessee. In fact, in about two dozen states, it's illegal to take a picture of your ballot inside the voting booth. One reason, to prevent bribery, fearing some voters would photograph their ballots to prove who they voted for so they can get paid. California legislator Mark Levine calls such rules archaic. He authored a new law that will make ballot selfies legal in the Golden State.
To share one's marked ballot is a celebration of the First Amendment. We need to protect our rights.
That new California law doesn't take effect until January, so the ACLU went to court hoping to lift the ballot selfie ban sooner, but the judge said no. That didn't stop Levine from posting his mail-in ballot on social media, a lawmaker breaking the law without much worry.
There's actually never been any history of people being prosecuted for taking a picture of their marked ballot.
Across the country, the laws vary and can be confusing. Last week in New York, a federal judge rejected ballot selfies, saying a rule change so close to the election would create confusion, while another judge in Colorado ruled voters can share images of completed ballots on social media. So if you're unsure, perhaps just stick to a pic of the infamous I voted sticker, a selfie that's not self-conscious. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
When we come back, what a race this has been. All the most talked about moments from an election season unlike any we've ever seen. Finally tonight, who would have dreamed that the country would witness the kind of election campaign this one has been? To say it's been memorable only begins to describe it. With that in mind, we want to take a look back tonight at some of the key moments of an extraordinary race.
I'm running for president of the United States.
I announce my candidacy for president of the United States.
I am proud to announce my candidacy.
I declare that I am a candidate for
and
president.
And I've decided I'm a candidate for president.
I'm running for president.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am officially running for president of the United States. And we are going to make our country great again.
I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Voting has finally begun in the race for president. Not a lot about this race for president has gone as expected.
They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists. I will build a great, great wall.
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured.
Calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
I have just one word for Mr. Trump. Basta. Enough!
You can put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
It would have been better if I'd had two separate accounts to begin with.
The American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Donald Trump made it official today, naming Indiana Governor Mike Pence as his running mate. All signs pointing to Virginia Senator Tim Kaine. Tonight, it's showtime in Cleveland.
I humbly and gratefully accept your nomination.
Welcome to day one of the Democratic National Convention.
I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
Good evening from Hofstra University.
She doesn't have the stamina.
So a man who can be provoked by a tweet should not have his fingers anywhere near the nuclear codes.
Breaking news about Donald Trump.
This was locker room talk. Nobody has more respect for women than I do.
Donald thinks belittling women makes him bigger. Replenish the Social Security Trust Fund.
With 11 days to go, the head of the FBI dropped a bomb in the race for president this afternoon.
I think people a long time ago made up their minds about the emails.
Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are playing the end game.
You know what you can do? Go out and vote tomorrow. That's what you can do.
Vote for yourselves. Vote for your families. Vote for your futures.
And here we are. That's going to do it for us on this Monday night. A program note, our election night coverage begins in less than 24 hours. Tomorrow at 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, we hope you'll join us for Decision Night in America. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.